Oh, it's lovely. It's gorgeous, isn't it? Nice.
Vegetarian.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And who's, you're a vegetarian. Who's the vegetarian?
I'm vegetarian.
You are, yes. Oh, then you must have some tabbouleh. It's fantastic.
I probably will try it more than I could.
Now, how do you manage as regards being a vegetarian with all these meat eaters around?
I've never had any problems before. I've been a vegetarian 5 years, so I've never had any problems before. I'm holding up well, you know. I always fall back on the chocolate if I want
to. Nobody's looking forward to a man.
We have those on holidays, we're okay.
Well, Bridget, you have a boyfriend, haven't you?
Yeah, I do.
You're not looking forward to seeing him?
Oh, yeah. That's admitting too much.
An after-work get-together with the girls, an after-shopping spree, a chat at coffee time, morning break, wrong. Every day for 6 months, these girls must wear a uniform and carry a gun. All day and every day.
And the first time it was fathers, the last time it was sons, and in between your husbands marched away with drums and guns, and you never thought to question, you just went on with your lives, 'cause all they taught you who to be was mothers.
Okay, I just have one question for you, sir. When people want to travel home to Ireland through Beirut, do I have to send a form to you as well? A particular form, you know, looking for... And I just list all the people who want to travel on a certain date. But all the bookings for people I do myself with the travel agents. Yeah, no, I'm just going to try and ring myself and talk to Reema about this for people who want to travel home in January to Ireland. But there's an annex to ACOS AMP directive that I send it to you when I have all the names, do I? And it's looking for permission for them to fly out of Beirut and look for the discount. The information's up for the tour to Beirut on the 10th. Will you send that to me as well? Remember I sent a list of all the people down.
Bravo.
Okay, sir. Hi, Judy, it's me.
Yes.
Yeah. Hi, how are you? I have a question for you. I actually don't know his age at the moment, but I find that...
He's between 25 to 28.
Yeah.
Okay. Switch. So now I know what to do. I will give you the answer later.
Okay, yeah. He wants to fly at night as well, Judy, preferably.
What?
He wants to fly at night time.
Night?
Yeah, if possible.
Okay. It'll probably night time.
Yeah, okay. So I'll talk to you later on.
Bye.
Thanks, Judy. Bye.
Bye-bye.
My name is Carmel Moran. I'm from Limerick originally, but I'm stationed in Galway with the 1st Battalion at the moment. And for the last 8 weeks, I've been out here with the 74th Irish Battalion in Lebanon. I am the assistant adjutant and the travel officer, so I have two roles, really. In my capacity assistant adjutant, I would work with the adjutant, who deals with all the administration of the battalion. I would do his work while he's away on leave, or if he's inspections or anything like that, I would help him out there. But my main work would be travel out here. Because people are away from home for so long, holidays are very important to people out here. And it's my job to organise all their holidays for them, make sure they get the right flights and the right holidays at the right prices.
Now tell me how much holidays they get.
We get approximately 18 days for our trip out here.
For the 6 months.
For the 6 months, yes. Yeah. It works out at 2.5 days for every month you're away from home. And on top of that, we get two long weekends, known as 60 hours, to be normally spent in Israel or in Lebanon itself. But the 18 days holidays is the main one. Now, on this trip, being a winter trip, there are over 120 people travelling home to Ireland. 90 of those are going at Christmas, and the others will be stretched out between January and March.
Now, did you know anything about this before you got here?
Not a notion, no. I think I'll be able to open my own travel agency when I go home after this.
Hi, Carmel.
Hi, Owen.
I'm looking for prices for Spain, please. Somewhere Bilbao, around the 1st of February.
Okay, the price for
Bilbao that we have at the moment is $575 plus 15 tax.
And have you any price for five lads for Cyprus?
Yeah, the Middle Eastern Airlines are offering a special price to Cyprus from the 1st of January on. It'll be approximately $145 return from Beirut to Larnaca. There's four flights a week, lunchtime every day, returning on the same days at lunchtime.
Okay.
So I'll book your flights all right, but the accommodation you're going to have to look after yourselves okay. for.
With the flights, it's straightforward enough. I have a list of all the prices to most holiday destinations that people would look for out here. Cyprus and Ireland and Eilat would be very popular.
You would have got them from the previous person?
No, I got them myself with the travel agents because the prices would change from season to season. Now, we have a few exotic places that people want to go to this year, so I find out those prices as well for them.
Like where?
There's some interest in going to Mauritius. Somebody asked me about going to Goa, and I had never heard of Goa. I said, Goa where, when he said it to me. Places like this, a lot of people are interested in going to Kenya this year because it's quite cheap to fly from Tel Aviv to Kenya.
Do you get any little perks yourself? Have you an in now with all these travel agencies?
There are a few perks, yeah. About 2 weeks ago, I was brought to Eilat for 2 days as part of an orientation, they called it. I had to go see all the hotels down there. It was very, very nice. It was courtesy of the travel agents down there.
When I'm heading off to do a shotgun, there's a car going down to Nakura, so a shotgun not always travels, but it'll be a driver, and a person carrying a weapon for security reasons, you know, just in case you came across anything, or which is very unlikely, hopefully, but
yeah,
it's for security reasons. I carry a weapon with me and your ammunition, you know, your flak jacket and helmet and things.
So you were the girl going down to protect the others?
Yeah. For a change. You mostly do it once a week or so, you know. It's always only, like, we're only during the day. We say with cars don't really travel after five. You travel in the seasons, you know, the seasons after that.
Yeah.
Cars wouldn't go in and out the gate after five, and then when it gets dark, it's too risky, you know. So it's only from in the morning until 5 o'clock you'd be able to do a shotgun.
I have you to go to Nakura. Yeah.
Well, actually, the PX is going down to the shop to stock up with beer for the canteen. They have it run out of beer. So so I really just to get stores, that's it.
And you work sometimes in the canteen too?
Well, no, I work in the bar below in the mess sometimes. I've never known the canteen here.
And what does that entail?
Just general bar work, really, you know.
You haven't been given that because you're female?
Oh, no. I mean, there's two fellas working with me as well. Oh, God, no. And you do what we say. You can do a week waiting in the mess, the meals, and then you'll do a week in the bar. Just you only work the night times in the bar from 8 to 10.
Do you enjoy that?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
It's probably a good bit of crack.
Oh, yeah. Grand.
What the beer is what?
Well, 3 Almaza for $2. And the cans, 2 for $1, or the large cans, 1 for $1. Shorts, $1. It's very cheap.
All the shorts are $1.
Well, brandy is $2, I think. The rest are all $1.
Incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
It makes for easy adding up, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And there's everything, no change?
No change, no. Everything is either 2 for $1 or 3 for $1, you know. So it's pretty handy.
What happens, do they get noisy or obstreperous sometimes?
Over, no, actually. They're quite in the canteen, so they are. Except you might have a sing-song in the night time, you know.
That'll be odd.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. There's a great crowd out. Like, there's been no rows or anything, you know. But again, the bar closes at 10 o'clock, I suppose, which is a lot to do with it, you know.
And do they all go at 10?
Well, no, they wouldn't leave at 10. Let's stay until 11:30 and 12, like, but there wouldn't be any drinks. It wouldn't be, just hanging around, like, you know.
Yeah.
So we sit in their billets all the time. It's somewhere to go, you know, and talk.
What's it like being a girl out here?
I find it okay. Like, the lads are very nice to us, and we've no problems with any of them, so we haven't. They've been all good to us, and they treat us as a soldier more so than a girl, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing the same duties as them, and there's no problem.
Any romancing?
No, well, not with me. Bridgie is romancing, all right. Well, not out here. You can't romance out here or something. But she's going with a fella. He's actually in the Rangers at the moment, in the car. So she's getting her...
Well, that's romancing in the army, but not actually here.
No. Well, I'd say girls have been out, like, their boyfriends have been out at the same time, but no, not really.
Difficult.
You couldn't really do anything here. You see, our billets are out of bounds, all male. So yeah. you make a lot of good friends here, though, you know, because everyone gets very close here and... You know, you have to really.
So now we're going to go off and do shotgun. Is that it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm leaving at 8:30. So.
that stuff might be better on the floor, just in case it falls. As fast as it can fall, no further.
I'll do an ops duty maybe once, twice a month. Well, twice or three times a month, it's usually. Yeah, it's very interesting duty. We help make up the brief for the officer to read out the next morning. We take in all the shoot reps from all the companies. Like if the DFF are firing a looms or anything like that, the companies report them in to the operational. Did Orla get away okay this morning?
Oh, yeah, she did, yeah. She's fine. She's gone off with her.
Plain shotgun.
Yes, plain shotgun. Do you have to do that?
Shotgun?
Yeah.
I get to do it occasionally. It's yeah. very interesting. It's great to get out of camp for a change and get out to see the OPs and get down to Nakura. Not
it's
too
a break
often.
Coming out,
yeah. It is, yeah.
That's the nice thing about here is the fact that you're all different duties. Isn't it?
Yeah, like in Shamrock you get to see a bit of everything. You get to see what the lads are doing on the OPs and you get to go down to Nakura and see what they're doing down there and you get to see what all the engineers and signals crowd are doing as well.
Yes.
It's great. You see everything. The battalion HQ, it's the heart of it all. Hello, Unifil Ops. This is Art about request log in time for one shoot rep. Over.
Hello, Pat. This is Unifil Ops. Logging time for one shoot rep is figures 1905. Over.
Roger, Unifil Ops. Your logging time. Figures 1905. Para 1 Alpha, Irish back. Bravo, figures 6-27. Charlie, your login time, figures 1905. Para 2, figures 1900.
Okay, now what was all that about?
Okay, that was just a report I had to send into Unifil Ops. It was from position 627. It's one of our Irish positions. They saw an 81mm mortar flare going off between 1900 hours and 1901 hours. It landed in the area north of Rashaf, and it was Rashaf is a village not too far from here, and it was sent off by the de facto forces, one of their positions. Like the damage cause is unknown. Like usually a flare, it goes off in the air and it just lights up the area around it. We just have to report them in as soon as we get them in and mark them up on the map then as well for the morning brief. I'm Bridget Lawler. I'm from Sagard, County Dublin. 24 years old. It's my first trip over to Lev, and so far so good. I'm enjoying it.
When did you join the army?
I joined the army in May 1990, and it was brilliant. I really enjoyed my recruit training. It was fabulous. We spent 6 months in the Curragh, and it was a great bunch of girls. There was 29 of us all together, and it was excellent. I loved it.
Every bit of it?
I loved it. Oh, it was hard bits, all right, but...
What were the hard bits? Tell me those.
Oh, some of it was physical, some of it was mental. Everybody had their down days, you know, but they all sort of stuck together and pulled each other through it, just in case haven't it.
Was it sort of physical or mental distress on your down days?
I'd say it'd be a combination of both. Like, you know, we'd be running around the Curragh Plains doing our section attacks, and yeah, like that alone, it's like if you don't get it right, it's physical and mental, because like your NCO is coming down you for not doing it right, and then you have to do it again. So it's physical and it's running, and you're carrying your CFO and your rifle and your helmet, and it's, you know, hail, rain or snow. It's like,
and you didn't get any special treatment because you were female?
No, like I wouldn't say we did. Like we were all female. It was like competition among ourselves.
Oh, so you all the females trained together?
Yeah,
you didn't train with the men?
No. Which is good, because the guys, which is good and bad. Like I would have preferred to try, like on my NCO's course I was in with a bunch of lads, and it was myself and another girl. Otherwise you'd have people coming back to you and saying, "Oh, you women, you get away with this, you get away with that, you didn't do this and you didn't do that." And like, you don't want to be treated like that at all.
Does that happen?
Well, I don't look for special treatment, and I know a lot of the girls don't look for special treatment, but you'll always get guys saying, oh yeah, women again, they didn't do this and they didn't have to do that, you know. This is just the way it goes. It's one of the slagging that goes on between the men and the women as well.
How long did you have to apply before you got here?
Well, before I got to the lab, yeah. I was in the equitation school for 3 years, and I didn't apply while I was in the equitation school. I left the equitation school last April, and as soon as I got out, I applied, and I was fortunate enough to get this trip. Lads slagging me off there.
And you left the equitation school to come out here?
I left the equitation school to go work in the sports office in Eastern Command headquarters, and I put in for the lab then. I got
so,
it.
So just after you joined the army, did you go straight to the equitation school?
As soon as I finished recruit training, yeah.
Did you want that?
Well, I worked at horses before I joined the army, so I wanted to combine the two.
Where did you work with horses?
I worked in England in a hunting yard in Gloucestershire, and I worked in America in a summer camp. And before that, I spent 2 years in a riding school in Newcastle, County Dublin. So, and like before that, every time, like while I was going to school, I was mad into the horses. Horses are horses with me. It was horses and nothing else. That's what it was.
Really?
Yeah.
And do you not miss them now?
I do, yeah. I miss them big time. You don't see many horses around here. It's all donkeys and mules, and any animal you see, it's anorexic looking, you know.
Apart from family, what's the difficulty about being out here?
Little home comforts, like, able to use as much water as you want, but you know, at home you don't worry about leaving the tap running because there's no water shortage. But over here you have to watch everything you do. You can't have your electric heaters and your electric blankets, and you can't leave lights on everywhere. You're running down the jenny, you can't leave taps running, you're running down the water supply. And it's
so
like a
Jenny
big...
Jenny is the generator.
Jenny's generator, yeah. It's like a big family out here. Like, everybody pulls together. Like, if anybody sees you down any day, like, they'll do their best to cheer you up. And
that's nice.
You'll do the same for them. Like, yeah. If they're down, you like, try and help them out, pull them out of a spot. Like, if anybody's looking for anything, a helping hand or anything, everybody will offer. It's great.
Is there any job here you'd particularly like to do, apart from all the jobs that you do do?
Well, wouldn't mind being given an opportunity to work at checkpoint, which is like
out in a village somewhere.
Out in the village, yeah. I know it's hard. Like, it's harder than being in Camp Shamrock. Like, the lads out there, like in Camp Shamrock, you have the canteen. You have loads of different people to interact. Like, out in the OPs on the checkpoints, like there might be about 40 people, and like they have to put up with each other. Despite personality clashes and everything, they just have to get in there, work together, and do the job. Mm-hmm. You can't afford, like, you have enough problems getting on with the local people, and like obviously getting by with the Hezbollah there, like without having internal conflict as well.
And as well as that, you can't even walk down the road to the pub or walk down the road to the cinema or anything.
Like, if you go outside the camp here, you can't go out by yourself. There has to be two people, and you have to be armed. Okay. Every day we have recreational training between 4 and 5, but they have security going up and down the road in cars, like while people are running up and down in their tracksuits. You know, it's different. You don't have the freedom at home. You don't have the cinema. You don't have all the soaps, all the television programs. You know, it took me a while to settle in. It took me about 3 weeks to settle in, but now I'm grand. Like, I'm on my feet and I'm flying. So I jog. Like, you go down to the mess just to get out of the room, watch television, like videos, write letters, read books. You know, like, just circuit training on every Monday, Wednesday and Friday. You can go up. Like, you have to be doing something. If you don't do something, I'd say you'd crack up, you know. Number one is the summary of incidents. It's what actually happened within the 24 hours. That we send that into UNIFIL Ops, make it up. Right? Number two is the UNIFIL summary of incidents. They send that out to us. It's the compiled incidents from all over the UNIFIL AO, from all the battalions like Gambat and Netbat and Finbat. Three is the casualty state, like people in the RAP.
People who are sick.
People who are sick. the number of vehicles we have on the road and the armoured fighting vehicles, number of armoured fighting vehicles we have on the road.
All the time that any ones that are on the road are logged down there, are they?
Yeah, and if they're off the road as well. All these are given out in the morning briefing. Number four, that's the journal, the unit journal. It's all the phone messages that come in during the day.
Look at your women crying, look at your young men dying, the way they've always done before.
Well, my name is Mary Jo O'Sullivan. I come from a place called Castletownbere, and it's a fishing port in West Cork, streams of West Cork.
Look at the hay we're breathing. Sullivan M. $53.76.
So I'm
going to
give you 53 or 54?
Well, you see, that's up to you to decide.
Well, if I give people, say they're in your case,
what
I give
norm
you 53.
Is everybody above 50 give a dollar to, right?
Above the half.
Give the 54.
Yeah.
Everyone, see, the 37 trials give them 37.
37.
Yeah.
And the remaining balance, we say we get them next, they'll get it next time or whatever, forward.
No, we install it. The company keeps it. And it's company funds.
Well, so some guy gets sticky about his 12 cents.
Well, how do you get the 12 cents?
Exactly.
But that's what ask the other companies if they do. But
yeah.
I know that's what Dave Campion did.
Right. So
but that's your decision, like, you know, I mean, I'm leaving it up to you. Like, you're going to have it every month, Paul, you know?
Yeah.
Look, the guy's getting 46.08, he's going to get 46 anyway. No, some months, you know, you have half in some months, and you could find yourself down $5 or $6. So keep, if you're off 5 or 6, keep it. Do you know what I mean?
This is the first time that there are four women in the hills in Lebanon, in Camp Shamrock with UNIFIL. Camp Shamrock is in the AO, Area of Operations. You could call it a danger zone.
Again, this is the first trip that two of us have been sent out. You know, and this is obviously with the new that where all appointments are opening up, where hopefully we will increase the number.
Fellows that are under you, do they mind?
Well, it's no different. It's not. There's a military system, and whether you're a male or a female, there's a system there, and that's what they're accustomed to.
And is it really like that?
It's the people who are in the army. Everything is, you know, I suppose you could say it's regimentalized and it's a system and there's a chain of command. And everything works that way, regardless. The person over you may be younger than you, but there is a military system. So, you know.
And it's all accepted?
It is accepted, but the relation, there's obviously a good relationship as well between people, you know, and that's what's important too, you know. And there's a chain of command and everybody has a particular part in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the military system anyway. You know, and it's the same in military systems all over the world. And it wouldn't be any different here.
And it really does work like that. I mean, do you not have some guys underneath you who say bloody women or something like that?
There will be people everywhere who may not like their superiors, whether they're male or female. And that's in every job in life. But it's
because you're a woman.
No, no.
Definitely not.
This is Sergeant Hall. And Sergeant Hall is the guard commander. So the first duty in the morning is that the guard is mounted. And that means that their weapons are mounted, they're loaded and they're ready to do their security duty. So Sergeant Hall, being the guard commander, would fall the guard in. And the procedure is that I would inspect their weapons first, see that there are no rounds in them, that they're not loaded, and then we will actually go through the procedures of, and the expression is to mount the guard, then they're ready to do security duty. Mel Ara, Conkigra, Hispanic Arab. The weapons are checked at this stage. Up to Turimi. Dishas of Logol. Sig Aram. Carriage, carry on.
Okay, big a buck.
At this stage, the guard is mounted and the guard commander will carry on with his duties. So everybody then has their particular duty to do and their orders for them. So one of the first things that I would do then is check all the ordnance here and check all the weapons, everything that's serially marked, count the ammunition, sign for it and check it. And that's the first duty in the morning. I'm based up here in the battalion in Camp Shamrock. As my primary job is pay officer, which means that I have responsibility for paying all the Irish who are both here and in Nakura. And
so you go to the banks, do you?
Go to the banks in Israel every week.
Mm-hmm.
And
what's that like compared to at home?
It's a very, the system can be quite difficult to work with in Israel. From the point of view of one needs a lot of patience, there would be a minimum of a 2 hours queuing system, a minimum, and that's regardless of the transaction. You know, there may be just people in front of you who want to change a $100 bill and they're still queuing for 2 hours. So that system, it can be very frustrating, and obviously you're under pressure because you must get back to Nakura to make the 3 o'clock convoy to get back to the hills. So it's not
just
a matter of
you
can't. That's right. So yeah. And people are back here waiting for the money, you know, and you can't come back without the money, you know. So that sort of aspect, that the system is, you know, it's much more difficult to deal with than the banking system at home.
Did you particularly study maths before you got into the army?
No, but it's in the military. You may not be particularly trained to do a specific job. You know, you could be put into various different jobs, but as it just so works, I did a degree in commerce. Since I joined the army, we all go to Galway to UCG after we're commissioned, and it just so happened that I did commerce, but it could also have happened that I did science and still be over in the pay job. You know, it's not a prerequisite at all.
But did you choose to do it?
Or choose to do what?
The pay job.
The pay. You don't choose to do anything overseas. You volunteer to come overseas.
Yes.
And everybody who comes over was a volunteer in a volunteer list.
Yes.
And the job, you don't apply for a particular appointment. But it's our personnel system. If you wanted to say no, you wouldn't put your name on the volunteer list in the first instance.
No, I mean to do the pay job. I mean, I know you volunteer to come out, but then after that you're put into this job. Can you say no?
And do a different... No, that the military doesn't work that way. You know, you're appointed to a particular appointment and that's it.
Like being in a convent. They have to do what they're told to.
No, it's not like that at all. In fact, it's the system that operates. You wouldn't even consider saying, no, I don't want to do this job, I would do another one. Because that's the same as at home. You're posted. For instance, when we leave here, we will be posted. I don't know where I'm going to be posted when I go back or to what job. But that's the military way of life, and that's the way everybody is accustomed to.
And you accept all that?
You do. But it's something, you know, it's not something that's sort of enforced upon you. It's a system. You know what you know from the beginning.
Mm.
And it's not actually... It's not... as bad as it sounds, you know, people are usually matched with appointments that suit them or that they haven't had before.
Because you had a degree in commerce, so therefore they would think about putting you in charge of the pay.
Well, not necessarily. Mm. I mean, I'm sure very few pay officers would have, you know, come out with the degrees in commerce. They would have maybe degrees in other area specialities,
mm-hmm.
but they would have experienced home and administering messes and all that sort of thing, you know. So it's certainly not a prerequisite. But the idea is that everybody, you just don't do one job, you can do several jobs, you know, so it's part of the military system. It's something that you accept.
At all times, the girls must wear uniform, carry a gun, cannot leave the camp after dark without an armed escort, and home for them is from a billet to the canteen, to the mess, and to their different duties. Even at night, their guns are leaning against their beds.
I'm armed, as you see, and you walk around the camp and there are certain installations to visit. You check billets, check stores, check the bunkers, check defensive post positions, and they're all checked. And you have a set of orders and you know exactly what to do when you follow the orders. And then other duties that would happen during the day is the cookhouse must be visited during meal times and check that the food is okay for personnel, and another aspect of then is that at 10 o'clock at night, when the canteen closes, you go down and make sure that it is closed, that everything is closed at 10 o'clock, no more drink is served after 10. We have other duties. The military police in Gallows Green, that's where they're located, near Camp Shamrock. We contact them at night, see everything's okay with them. Contact our transport unit and hotel that everything's okay. Basically checking all the time that everything's okay, security-wise, in camp. The guard will carry out their duties. Gates will be closed at a certain time. The orderly officer will ensure that all that is done. And the other... Yeah, they're on call in the event of anything happening. If operations get very busy or they need to clarify something, they will look for you. And the other function of the orderly officer is in the event of groundhog, where everybody has to go to the bunkers, the orderly officer will go into a particular bunker that's designated for the orderly officer.
Right, so
we go up to a bunker up here.
Yeah, okay.
And when groundhog is called, all personnel will go into a specific bunker, and they know in advance which bunker they've been designated.
Groundhog is called how?
It will be called the operation. The duty officer will designate the groundhog should be called. And we have a paging system and a siren, and you know everybody will know.
It's a siren goes off, and they know that they have to take shelter. Yeah.
This is a bunker that's designated for the orderly officer.
Yeah.
And as you see, there is a nominal roll here, a list of everybody who is based in Camp Shamrock.
Yeah.
And the orderly officer will come in, and there's a switchboard system here, and each other bunker has a telephone in it. And the orderly officer responds for telephoning every bunker and ticking off the personnel that are in it.
Oh, yeah.
So then from the master list, if they're missing one or two others, then they can report ops. We've everybody checked, but there are two or three people we can't account for. And operations will maybe then say, well, those three people are down in a corps today on a convoy, whatever. So that's the first thing you do, is that you check out and you make sure that everybody is safe and in the bunker they're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for instance, if somebody wasn't near the bunker that they should have been in, they would go to the nearest one.
Yeah, so you check
you
that check, they're there.
You check every single bunker and you account for everybody.
Yeah.
And you're here and operations will contact you and give you instructions from there.
Have you been in a bunker this trip?
We have, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. When? Not so long ago?
We were in about 2 weeks ago. We were in twice in near succession during the night.
What time?
I think it was about 2 a.m. and about 3 a.m.
What's it
on
like?
On sociable hours.
Yeah. What's the atmosphere like in here when you are? Because it's the middle of the night. Are you all in your 90s or...?
Well... Everybody is, and I suppose, in different states of dress and undress. Most people, the most important thing is you have your flak jacket and helmet and weapon and you get straight into the bunker and you don't hang around to, you know, sort of, you know, for any niceties. You immediately to the bunker. And most
people... You don't
people,
go back for your jewellery.
No, or anything like that. So people come in and, you know, there are a lot of exercises and people know exactly what to do and it is done very efficiently and very quickly. And... you know, depending on the weather, if it's very cold, obviously people will. We have what sort of people call a bunker bag ready, and in the eventuality that you may be in the bunker a long time, and in this bunker bag there may be a book or there may be a rug or letters or a pack of cards, you know, because you don't know, you could maybe in the bunker several hours or a bottle of water or something like that.
Like during the trouble last
July. That's right.
They were
in the bunkers up to a week. So, you know, people get, you have your bunker bag packed and you literally grab it so you don't have to run around the place.
And is there rations in the bunker bag?
The rations are in the bunker. As you can see here,
they're
ration packs, so nobody's come to starve, and they're dated and they're checked and there'll be water in the bunker and there's electricity.
And tell me, what's in the ration pack?
Well, you have, it's actually, for instance, in this one now, you'll have vegetables. There will be, now these will obviously they're long life.
Yeah.
You'll have potatoes. You know, you will have all the essentials that one will need. There will be meat, potato, veg.
you know, you'll have, for instance, here, you'll have, you know, your sugar, tea, there'll be some chocolate.
Pâté de foie.
You know, it's actually a balanced diet, as in this. Actually something that was produced.
Yeah.
And it's used by all armies, ration
packs.
What's
pets. It like?
Well, if you've nothing else, it's very acceptable. You know, it's obviously not as good as our own, produced by our own Irish cooks, but, yeah. You know, it's there. And it's, you know, it's suitable to this
type
of situation.
Do you have to put it into boiling water or something? Or?
Well, there would be instructions with everything, but most of them are, you know, just quick and ready to use.
Yeah.
And they're accounted for, and they'll be enough for everybody who's in the bunker.
Yeah.
And there'll also be, as you see, fresh water here.
Oh, that's all water.
And you've a lot of cans of water, and they will be checked on a regular basis and changed.
Ah, so Mary Jo, how was your day?
Well, it's not over yet, Tressa, so maybe I shouldn't sort of say it was okay.
Are you tired now at this stage?
Well, I'm just having to come back from a run and a shower, so I've sort of rejuvenated again. You know, we normally have training from 4 to 5, and
you're all great for your runs. You were at Bridget as well too, weren't
you?
How was it?
The hill doesn't get any easier, you know, but I'm happy as long as I get there and back.
Orla, do you run?
I don't run, no. Swimming all, but not running.
And what about your day?
My day, again, was different from yesterday's. Every other day, I spent most of the day out in B company today. Just met with the lads out there. And
arranging all their holidays.
Trying to arrange all their holidays.
Are they pernickety?
No, they're not pernickety.
Well, some of them are pernickety.
Some of them are, some of them are not.
Have any of you bought things here yet?
Yeah, we're bad news together, I think, so Carmen and I go out, you know, we sort of, if you go shopping with the guys and you look at something, well, what's that like? You say, well, it's grand, yeah, all right. Whereas if you go to a girl, they say, well, it's lovely, you should buy it, you know, you deserve it, and go on, you need it. So, like, we're bad news together, you know.
I say it's going to be the end of me by the end of this trip, spending $10 here, $10 there. I went out to B Company today to give a talk on travel, and I ended up spending $20 in a tracksuit, like, just for the sake of
it. It's our fix for
like,
the day,
I don't need
know?
A tracksuit,
but yeah,
we got
you
it.
Had your fix to spend
fix
money.
If you spend, well, yeah. If, you know, that's your, you know, you've done something for the day, like, you've achieved something, you've bought something else.
Yeah, it cheers us up.
You share your washing facilities with the officers, don't you?
Yeah.
And do you meet each other in the showers?
No. The showers, we don't meet each other, but we could be washing ourselves in the morning beside some guy shaving.
Oh, could you?
Yeah.
And do you chat and talk?
I chat away, yeah.
Yeah, just gear out of the way and try to edge in.
See if we can get our space at the sink.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you all sleep at night? Do you sleep well?
Oh, I sleep like a log anyway. The first few nights, you could hear your man wailing across the way, you know, some Muslim. But now I sleep like a log. Nothing will wake me.
Even when you do a night duty?
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, it's noisy around here during the day.
It is, yeah, but you ignore it because I haven't it.
Do you all feel the same?
I think you become accustomed to it.
Yeah.
There would be some shelling most nights, and I think at this stage most people sleep through it.
You might hear the explosion and say, oh, that's just another one. Roll over and go back and sleep.
Genuinely so tired after your day.
Yeah.
People are just, everyone's, and they're so tired. And maybe it's the fact that at the altitude here as well, and that the air is thinner.
Yeah.
But like, you sleep really well.
By 9 o'clock, all you want to do is go to bed.
Yeah.
You know, okay, 10, after a few beers.
That's what you do for enjoyment.
Well, 9 o'clock, everybody, you know, that's sort of
it's
your
meeting,
social
meeting time.
About
9
and you would all go to the canteen, is it? Or the mess?
Yeah. Most nights, yeah.
Does it bug you being in uniform all the time?
Yeah. It's the one thing you see, you have to get into civvies in the evening.
Yeah.
Sometimes you would like just to, like, get changed and dial yourself up a bit.
Yeah, like at home at half four, you get changed, you go home, and that's it, you know.
Yeah.
But over here, like, if you're going down to the mess, you have to be in your uniform. Like, if you come in from a run, you have your shower, you have to get back into uniform to go for dinner.
Yeah.
First thing in the morning, up for breakfast, into uniform and go for breakfast.
I think it's the one thing that we'd miss more than the fellas, because girls at home would be inclined to
course,
do themselves up a bit more anyway.
Yeah. Is there any way you can do it instead? I mean, would you put on a bit more makeup or something, or earrings or jewellery? I suppose
make
that's
much of a difference to the
uniform. Still in
uniform.
Yeah,
you might do it once just to cheer yourself on.
Like if it was like a Saturday or a Friday night, just something on in the mess, like you might try on a bit of makeup.
Quiz or any whatever. Yeah.
You
that's our social life now. You know, the messes and things like that.
So. Yeah.
It's like you would do at home. I think it's just like to.
Then if you get down to Nakura for an overnight, like it's quite pretty.
You can put on your clothes then.
Put on.
What about things like getting your hair done? Is that possible?
Yeah.
I actually got my hair cut 2 days ago in Nakura.
Yeah. Was it a fellow or a girl?
A guy. Yeah. These guys. The big problem is finding one of them who can speak English. You know, that's one thing. But I was lucky. It was a guy. I used to cut my hair last trip.
You could end up bald.
You know, you could end up anyway.
Yes. In fact, I've seen some fellows with the most horrendous haircuts. Yeah. Fellows, you know.
Imagine what they could do to a girl.
Exactly.
But it's just that it's so peculiar because you go in and it's like a little, you know, it's sort of like an outhouse or a shed in a farm. You know, it may have three walls and the fourth wall may be open on the street. You know, there's no door. So you're there with sort of a semi, you know, like salon, you know, and he's a few posters on the wall or something. And, but you know, he has the scissors and he does the job. But for instance, when I was getting my cut, you know, he cut it and he styled it and he had sort of a few words of English here and there. And he didn't have any power to dry it because in the core,
the lights,
lot of generators. So there was a generator, some other guy had a generator about three or four doors down. So you toddle down Mingy Street with, you know, your wet, dripping hair beside your man with a hairdryer in hand, and you go into a barber shop, and he plugs in and just proceeds, you know, as if it's the most natural thing in the world. And the barber carries on reading his Lebanese paper, whatever, you know. And there are things that you just wouldn't dream of doing at home, or, you know, you wouldn't walk down the street with the hair dripping and the towel around you, you know. But it's just the norm here, you know.
And
you
then nobody takes any notice.
Nobody takes any notice. Yeah. But the first time.